spent a few moments in the first few verses last week. And so tonight we're going to begin verse 6 down through verse 18. And not necessarily dig too deep, but there's a particular thought I want to show you tonight. But now that you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, mark your place and go to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. Nope, 34. I knew I had that wrong. Exodus chapter 34. There we go. There's a story in Exodus chapter 34 that we need to be familiar with before you can understand quite what's happening in 2 Corinthians. It has to do with the time when Moses came down from the mountain from talking to God. And when he came down from the mountain, he had been in the presence of the Lord and his face was shining. And the people were afraid of him. There's a thought there that's worth preaching, but not tonight, and that is that when you spend time with the Lord, it'll change your face. It'll change the way you appear to other people, won't it? And some people will wonder, why are you different? We need to spend time with the Lord. But Moses physically looked different, and so in chapter 34, I'll just read that story to you. It says in verse 29, it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, he didn't know, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh him. Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh. And he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again, until he went to speak with him. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And remembering that veil, what we read here will make a pretty good sense to you. And I'm going to read, let's see, where should I start here? Let's just read the whole thing. We'll start in verse 6 and I'll read down through the end of the chapter. Jumping into the middle of a sentence, so be patient with me. But he says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, 2 Corinthians 3:6, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, remember Moses brought those tables down, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you tonight that as we open the Word of God and we read in 2 Corinthians that we can see that we have something, something very glorious with which to minister to people, and that we have an answer that truly is the answer of answers, that the Lord Jesus Christ died to pay for the sins of the world. And Lord, I thank you that we do not live in that day when the law was preached, but Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died, and that he is the end of the law to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Pray tonight that we would understand a few things here, that you'd touch our hearts, give us wisdom, and bless our time. And again, I pray you'd be with those that can't be here tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I saw something today that disturbed me greatly, and it's probably just would have been better off if I hadn't have done so. But as I looked at my sister's Facebook page today, and Facebook always gets me in trouble. I don't know why I even get on there. She posted something that really upset me, and it was a picture. And I'll tell you the whole story, so hang on. Don't get upset like I did. But it was a video taken in Brazil. Woman, you may have seen it on the internet. Don't go looking for it. I'll tell you what happens. Woman pulls up to a curb in a car, white car. She opens the door, of the back door. She gets out of the car, opens the back door, and a black Labrador jumps out of the car. And she doesn't pay attention to the black Labrador. She reaches into the car and grabs something, and a white dog about the same size with crippled legs that they would not extend. They were just tucked up to his body, and they were useless, fell out of the car on his face. She pulls the dog out of the car. She puts the Labrador back in the car, closes the door, and drives off. And the little white dog, big white dog, hops over to the curb, and he kind of looking around like, what's going on? And it kind of breaks your heart. I hate to see anybody innocent suffer, and I sure hate to see animals and children suffer. And it just doesn't compare. I'm sick and tired of suffering. There's too much suffering in the world. And it's not just animals in Brazil. It's children in our neighborhood. Amen. But that pales in comparison to the suffering folks are going to face when they step into eternity without Christ. The good news is, and I was very upset about this, and I thought, there's got to be more to this story. So I got on Google, which has the answer to all life's questions, right? Amen. And I found that an animal shelter in Brazil had taken the dog in, and they have a picture of the dog's kind of happy looking, smiling with his tongue hanging out, and they took the dog in, and they were going to very carefully find a family to adopt him that would take good care of him and not throw him out again. And I guarantee you, if I had been there, they were all upset about this woman. Go catch the woman. Forget the woman. You're not going to help her. She needs to get saved. But help the dog. And if I'd have been there, we'd have a dog that can't walk. I just don't like to see animals suffer. There's a lot of suffering in the world. Sin causes suffering. Amen. Folks, sin, the wages of sin is death. Amen. When people sin, they suffer. I bring this to your attention because as you begin to consider what Paul is saying to these people, he points out something. He uses this word over and over again. It's this word ministration. If you look back in the passage, he says in verse 6, he says that God hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, this is the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. The letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. He mentions ministration again in verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9. And then he says that this ministration in verse 9 of righteousness exceeds in glory. And he uses that word a whole lot as well. The word ministration, or the word ministry, just simply means, or minister for that matter, means to serve somebody. And when you and I, you say, well, you know, the pastor is a minister. Folks, truly, we're all ministers of the gospel. Amen? And I just want you to know, we are, sadly, sometimes, we are reluctant to be ministers of the gospel because we assume people won't receive it. But folks, some people will receive it. You received it. Amen? And you've seen people receive it. One of the things I'm really, I hate to use the word, but I'll use the negative. I'm not encouraged by the fact that we've only seen a couple of people saved so far this year in church. Last year, it was many more than that. And now, of course, we've spent a third of this year in lockdown, and that's tough. But that's one of the sad things about this lockdown is it's keeping us from being effective at getting the gospel out. I want you to know something. You got to believe this. God says it. Paul makes it very clear here. We have something glorious to minister to people. Now, back to the dog story. If we do not do our job that God's given us to minister, there's going to be suffering. And some of that suffering is going to be blood on our hands. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here, and let's just go back to this veil, because it's really where I want to zero in. In verse 12, he says, we use plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. And then he says something interesting in verse 15. He says, even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. I thought about that, a veil over the heart. If you and I had seen a child, for example, suffering, you'd deliver him, wouldn't you? Amen. Wouldn't think twice. Amen. If I come across somebody that's hungry, I'll feed them. If I come across somebody that's being hurt, I'll protect them if I can, and whether it's a person or an animal for that matter. And if I come across somebody that I can help, if they're suffering particularly, but if I can help them, I'm going to help them. Amen. Why is it that Christians seem to way too many times be so apathetic about getting the gospel out? And I think, and this is a little bit of a twist, but the application still works. I think some people have a heart that doesn't see things. When you read the Bible, it's the same as seeing it, isn't it? Right. A pastor in Utah used to do something. I don't imitate him too much, but he'd talk about seeing things through the Word of God. And he'd use his Bible like a pair of binoculars. You've probably seen people do that many, many times. But folks, when you read it in the Bible, it's just as real as if you saw it with your own eyes. In fact, it's more. In fact, Peter said it's more reliable to read about it than it is to see it with your own eyes. He said we've touched and handled the Lord, but that we have a more sure word of prophecy. We may need to be careful that our heart is not blind to some things. Just going to apply that just a little bit here and pull a few verses out if I could. First of all, can your heart see how glorious God is? Now, we've seen that word glorious throughout these first few verses, and he talks about a glorious ministration. Folks, the Lord truly can save lost souls. If you saw one person go to hell, and you really honestly believe that's the truth, I think it would change the way you soul win. I think it would change the way you serve God. And oh, by the way, soul winning doesn't start when you knock on the door. Soul winning starts when you walk through the church door and pray. Amen. And pray with other believers and strengthen the church and learn the Bible and send out missionaries and serve the Lord in the local church. And soul winning is an extension of the local church, not an exception to it. So you say, well, Pastor, I didn't go soul winning this week. Well, if you came to church and were faithful and were doing what God told you to do in the Bible, you're part of the effort. Amen? Amen. We had, I forgot how many out last night. It wasn't too many. We're a little bit nervous right now what to do because of this virus thing. But Brother Dahlman and Brother Hill went out and knocked some doors. And as you mentioned, told several folks the gospel. And that they are ministering is glorious. Can we see that? It's not just, oh, it's just the gospel. That can save a soul from hell. It really can. And I have been teaching on the Holy Spirit in Sunday school, and I would reiterate this again and again. We must have the Holy Spirit working through us and the Holy Spirit working in them, but we have to do our part. Can we see how glorious the Lord and His gospel is? How glorious His word is? So our heart ought to have some confidence in the Word of God. And I like the way Paul said it. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is Romans 1:16. This is the power of God. And it can save the Jew and the Gentile. Terrible paraphrase, but that's what the verse says. Folks, the gospel works. Amen. And if we don't give folks the gospel and they suffer, their blood's on our hands. If we give them the gospel, if we minister that gospel to them, then there will be some results. It may not be what you expected or what you hoped for, but there will be a result. Can we see how glorious the gospel is, how glorious the Lord is? Now, can you see the need for the gospel? You take your eyes off the Word of God here for just a minute, and you look out, And, you know, when I saw that animal suffering, and I don't know why, I think about what that animal's got in his mind, and he's thinking, what's going on here? And how come I don't get to go? And why are they leaving me here? And now what am I going to do? And I was so glad to hear that somebody took that animal in. There are people in the world that are suffering. Can we see them? If you spend all your time looking at yourself, you're not going to see them. If you spend all your time worrying about yourself, you're not going to worry about them. Man, the word worry is not a good word, but it's the truth. If you spend too much time thinking about what you get and where you go and how people think about you and how you look and all the rest, if you're so busy looking in, you're not going to see what's out there. I drive down the street here every day on the way home from church, and I usually pick a different route to go down through these neighborhoods over here. And I was driving through the other day, and I saw some children I never had seen before. And my thought goes to this level. It's maybe they'll come to Vacation Bible School. Amen? But why do we have to wait till Vacation Bible School? Maybe we can go find them on Saturday. Amen? You know, I'm just going to be frank. We have fewer people going on visitation than we need. Amen? And I know sometimes you go out and you don't get a result, or you go out and somebody says they'll come to church and they don't come to church. If we had a nickel for every one of those, well, anyway. But that doesn't mean those children don't need to be reached. Amen. And that doesn't mean that there aren't some others suffering over there. And those of you that work with the children that we bring in, some of them had a hard life. Some of them had a really hard life. And if we can do something about that, we better. I hope we can see them. I hope our heart can see them. Amen? I think if your heart could see that suffering, it would move you to do something about it. So the devil's going to try and distract us. He's going to get our eyes on something else, or he's going to get our eyes on ourselves and keep us from seeing the suffering out there. When you see it, that's when you're going to want to do something about it. Can you see God providing for you to minister the gospel to others? So sometimes we say to ourselves, like I did today, that dog's in Brazil, I'm here, I can't do a thing about it. But I want to remind you of something, and that is, there are some people you can do something about. And oh, by the way, we send missionaries to the foreign countries to take care of folks over there. Amen? I've heard it time and time again. Pastor, I'm just too busy. I'm just trying to picture what it's going to be like if you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and you look him in the eye and tell him, Lord, I was too busy to serve you. And I have to work on this too, but folks, we got to trust God. And we got to trust God to take care of us so that we can serve others. I see the suffering, and I believe the Word of God when it talks about the suffering. I see the suffering. I want to do something about the suffering. Now I have to see that God will enable me. And He gives us the time to serve Him. Amen. If you want to go out and serve God and you say, well, I got to work, well, perhaps you need to serve God at another time. Or I just know this. If you want to serve God, you can find the time. And I hope you do. Can we see God providing for us to minister? And then, can you see that God wants to send you? Now, back to where we kind of started out, and that is, there's this veil over these people's face. The veil he's talking about is a picture of the blindness that Israel has. And he mentions, even when Israel today, even when they read the Old Testament, they can't see it. And they're blinded to that truth. They don't understand the truth. But folks, you and I should. Amen. We've received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen? Amen? Holy Spirit lives in us. Holy Spirit reveals the Bible to us. In fact, He says at the end of the chapter, we, in verse 18, we all with open face behold some things, as in a glass. There's a little bit of a blur there. But we can see some things other people can't see. I had a fellow came to our church in Maryland one time. His name's Don Hines. He was a missionary to Chile. And sadly, the end of the story is he left the mission field, but preached one of the very most memorable messages on heart disease in Christians. You've probably heard this somewhere. One of the first symptoms of a heart disease in a Christian is you lose a burden for souls. I think when I think about what I saw today and the fact that things like that would stir me, lost people should stir us. The problem is the devil's got us distracted, or he's got us blinded somehow. We're not seeing it. You got to look again. Amen? God made us, you and I, ministers. He says in verse 6, he says, he made us able ministers of the New Testament. That ministration is glorious because of the effect it has on people's lives. I'm so glad we don't have to go out and teach them the Ten Commandments and to keep them. Amen? A fellow told me one time, yeah, I'm saved by keeping the law. Well, I said, well, can you tell me the Ten Commandments? Oh, some of them. If you think you're saved by keeping the law, you better know them all. Amen? I'm glad we don't have to set these young people from the neighborhood down and say, now learn these Ten Commandments and keep them all, and then you'll be saved. No, we have a Christ that can save them. And we have it's glorious because of the effect it can have on people's lives. It delivers those who suffer, those who will suffer. And we are the ones responsible for delivering them. The problem is that some people, and I'm talking about lost folks and saved folks, we'll take that independently, but they seem to have a veil over their heart like there is in verse 15. Of course, people that are unsaved, their heart does not see. And folks, pray God would open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. And unless he does, our efforts are in vain. But then there are those that are saved who could make a difference, and their heart does not see the need. And I'm just going to ask the question, do you see the need? Do you see that there are people out there that are suffering now, but worse yet, they're going to suffer in eternity? If you don't see that, please look again and ask the Lord to open your eyes and let you see that. We need to see that God can care for them, can save them, can use them, and that he can use us. If there's a veil over your heart, ask the Lord to take it away. I don't think that the question is whether or not we care. I think the problem is we're not seeing what we need to see. Ask the Lord to show you. I think it'll break your heart.